This is the day the Lord has made. And because of that, he's got a plan. Because he made it. And he predestined it. Again, we are talking about a year that's going to be unveiling. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12? Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the what? The Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when one turns to the Spirit of the Lord, the veil is taken away and the message of truth is released. Has everybody got this? Let's continue on. 4:1. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is what? Veiled, covered. It is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. This is the message of truth. Whose minds the God of this age, who's the God of this age? Satan, has blinded, who do not believe. And the word believe means to follow. Lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So we see here that when one turns to the Spirit of the Lord, the veil is removed so that they can see and receive. Amen? In other words, when this veil is taken away, the message of truth is revealed and grace is unveiled. The message of truth is revealed and the grace is unveiled. And we're changing and we're being transformed into his image from glory to glory. So the more the unveiling, the more we're able to receive, the more we change. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and it says, the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. So Jesus, the Word, became flesh, and he brought grace and truth, didn't he? Amen? All right. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He brought the fullness of grace and the fullness of truth. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 9. For we are what? God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the what? Grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed in how he what? Builds on it. So according to the grace of God, in other words, according to the plan of God, Paul became a master builder. According to what? The plan of God. So grace means the plan of God, doesn't it? Amen. And he says in verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. In other words, whether it's according to what God has planned or what you have planned. Anything that you've planned will burn. Anything that God has planned will stand. If anyone's work which he has built on it does what? Endures. He will receive a reward. So you could be doing all kinds of things thinking that you're doing it for God, but it's not God. And you'll find it will all burn and you will not receive a reward. Now this has nothing to do with going to heaven or hell. Does everybody understand that? Okay. So we see here the grace of God is the plan of God. So when the veil is removed from us by the Spirit of the Lord, amen, it's removed from us so that we can see and receive the unveiled grace, which is released to me and you, which is his plan to escape the deception of the enemy, which is used to escape the deception of the enemy, the wrath of God, and to know the truth. Amen. Is everybody with me? Is anybody with me? Where's Rick? Oh, there you go. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now, since we're right there, in verse 9. So what's the grace of God? The plan of God. So we're talking about unveiled grace. Does everybody got it? So the plan of God has been unveiled. It's been revealed to me and you. Now, does the enemy want to veil that again? Yes. He wants to put blinders back on us. That's his job. In verse 9 it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Again, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So the only way that the plan of God can be manifested in your life is if you're in the Spirit. Because you cannot receive the things of the Spirit without being in the Spirit. You'll continue to live in a life of assumption, never fulfilling the will of God, fulfilling your will or your desire. Is everybody okay? So the plan of God for us is revealed by the Spirit of the Lord. What he does is he establishes, he perfects us, and he settles us before he sends us or promotes us. Does everybody got it? He does three specific things. He establishes us, he perfects us, and he settles us before he sends us and promotes us. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. Now King David is talking to his son Solomon. And he says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now the Lord who has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave his son Solomon the what? Plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasures, its upper chambers, its inner chambers in the place of the mercy seat. And the what? Plans for all that he had by the what? Spirit. Now here we see these plans are known as the plan of God, right? And the new covenant, it's known as grace. Has everybody got it? So God was revealing his plan to David, known as grace. And David was revealing it to his son. And it says the plans for all that he had by the Spirit, because you can only receive things of the Spirit by being in the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers and all around, of the treasures of the house of God, and of the treasures for the dedicated things, also for the division of the priests and Levites, for all the work, for the service of the house of the Lord, for all the articles of the service in the house of the Lord. He gave gold by weight for things of gold, for all articles used in every kind of service. Also silver for all articles of silver by weight, for all articles used in every kind of service. The weight for the lampstands of gold, and their lamps of gold by weight for each lampstand, its lamps, for the lampstands of silver by weight, for the lampstands and its lamps according to the use of each lampstand. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of the showbread, for each table, and the silver for the tables of the silver. Also pure gold for the forks, the basins, the pitchers of pure gold, and the golden bowls. He gave gold by weight for every bowl, and for the silver bowls, silver by weight for every bowl. And refined gold by weight for the altar of incense, and for the construction of the chariot, that is the gold cherubim that spread their wings and overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me what? Understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. So understand this, that the plans to build the house of God, how many of y'all know that you're the house of God now, is established by the Spirit. It's called grace. And to do this, you will need understanding. So the plans of God is called what? Grace. Go to Proverbs 16. So it's not some kind of mystical magic that removes all of our sin, is it? The only thing that removes our sin is repentance through the blood of Christ. But that's associated with God's plan, isn't it? It's called grace. In Proverbs 16, in verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his what? Steps. Go to verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Wow. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Go to Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Let's start at 20. Listen to what? Counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's what? Counsel, that will stand. So sometimes we've got all kinds of plans, don't we? Oh, we're planning this, we're planning that, and whatever. And it's really not God's plan. Proverbs 20 and verse 18. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. So we need counsel, don't we? Proverbs 15. So again, God's grace that is released to me and you is called his plan. And in that, he always brings counsel to his plan. In Proverbs 15 and verse 22, it says, without counsel, what? Plans go awry. So can, without counsel, can the plan of God go awry? Yes. But in a multitude of counselors, they are what? Established. Proverbs 21 and verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. But those of everyone who is what? Hasty, surely to poverty. In other words, You may, listen, God's plan is always associated with God's time. So many times I've seen people move out of God's time. And God's plan that was supposed to be a blessing, now it turns into a curse. Because it's not God's time. Hasty. Anybody that moves hasty, it means the Bible says be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplications, right? Make your requests be known to God. And what God does, he answers you. And I can share with you about 90% of the time through counsel. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Again, how is grace revealed to you? By the Spirit, right? So it means you must be in the Spirit to receive the plan of God. Or you live in assumption. And he confirms things by counsel, doesn't he? Not by feeling. By counsel. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me. And who devise plans but not of my Spirit. That they may add sin to sin. Who walk to go down to Egypt. That means they receive the counsel according to the world's precepts. Carnal precepts. And have not asked my advice. To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. So Pharaoh is a spirit. It is a ruling spirit. In fact, it's one of the ruling spirits right now of the world. Pharaoh. The word Egypt represents worldliness. Its ruler is Pharaoh, the spirit of Pharaoh. What does the spirit of Pharaoh do? It promotes abortion. It promotes same sex. It promotes the things of the devil. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame. So what happens is people choose to get carnal counsel. And not from the Spirit, but from the world. They begin to go by what the world says instead of what the Spirit says. And it brings them back into the world, and it brings them back into bondage. He says, this shall bring, in other words, therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. In other words, you're going to fall. Has everybody got it? Plans not of his Spirit, still associated with worldly counsel under the spirit of Pharaoh, which will promote bondage. It promotes what? Bondage. Now, I want you to know that Pharaoh was very religious. Psalm 84. Unveiled grace. In verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who what? Walk uprightly. He gives grace to those who what? Walk uprightly. Now I want to share with you that there's three types of grace. There's what we call the eternal grace, which is the salvation plan. There is the corporate grace, which is associated with the plan for the body, is one. And then there's personal grace, where each member has a plan. Has everybody got it? There's the eternal grace, which is salvation's plan. There's corporate grace, where the body of Christ, there's a plan for the place of unity. And there's personal grace, and this grace is the plan for each member of the body of Christ. Is everybody with me? So there's three types of grace. It's all one grace, because grace means plan. But there's a plan for eternal, for salvation. Then there's a plan for corporate, the body of Christ, and individual bodies, members, and then individual people. So everybody got it. So there's a plan for true ministries and total freedom, isn't there? Amen. But there's a plan for each person that's here. But so what, you won't be able to get your plan unless you're in the Spirit to get it. And then it's confirmed by counsel. Is everybody okay? Proverbs 3. That's called grace. Unveiled grace. In verse 31. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. But his secret counsel is with the what? With the what? Upright. In this secret counsel, it's called revelation. But we're going to talk about this later. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the what? Scornful, but he gives grace to the what? Humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. So he gives grace to the humble. Has everybody got it? So he releases his plan to those who are humble, because being humble allows you to get in the Spirit so you can receive the things of the Spirit. But there is an enemy of grace. I'm going to tell you an enemy of grace. The enemy of grace is called pride. It is an enemy of grace. It is the number one killer of mankind. Not sickness, disease, or war. Pride. Because pride is behind every war. The number one killer of mankind is pride. Personal reverence into a deadly end. Because pride always tries to prove itself. And the Bible says, God rejects the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And when a person is prideful, God does not release his plan. But I can tell you, the prideful person will have a plan of their own. And they will call it God. Psalm 1. Remember, he establishes, he perfects, and he settles an individual before he sends them or promotes them. Why? Because he will not move you until you are unmovable. This is why you're going to see a lot of unveiling in 2012. You're going to see a tremendous of unveiling, and behind the unveiling will be pride. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the godly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the what? Scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. You know, the world looks at prospering as financial. Prosperity is knowing him more. Paul was not a prosperous man financially. Does everybody got it? But I'm telling you, he was a prosperous man spiritually. This man had more revelations than anybody I know. Besides John the Revelator. But that was a big, long revelation for John. Paul had many. See, the deeper you get into the Spirit, the more revelation, the more things that God reveals to you. The more you don't care about money or finances or whatever else. You don't care about, you just want to know more of him. You know why? Because you've lost your life. See, you're no longer looking to be promoted. You're not, see, you be gone. The eye is out of the way. All glory. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? They shall perish. So walks not in the counsel of the godly. Remember, there's that three areas that we must abide in. We must abide in His presence, in His word, and in the body. When any of those are broke, you will miss the counsel of the Lord. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. What's it say? And He Himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the what? Unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. He establishes, He perfects, and He settles. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children or immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, remember, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. Every joint or member does its share to cause growth, and that is established by an individual receiving the plan of God called grace. Has everybody got it? Again, there's the eternal grace, which is associated with the salvation plan. There's the corporate grace, which is associated with the body plan. And then there's personal grace, where each member gets the plan of God and how they're supposed to participate. Has everybody got it? Now again, these things are established by being in the Spirit. But He rejects the proud, doesn't He? And gives grace to the humble. Are you listening? Praise God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. The enemy of grace is pride. The enemy of grace is pride. So you may be wondering why the plan of God has been ceased. Or, see, it might have been ceased, but you don't realize it. Because you picked up the enemy's plan now. Now you're trying to promote and do everything you can to get God's will done, but it's not happening. Because He has stepped back, because pride is the enemy of God's plan. And verse 5, 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be what? Clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may what? Exalt you in due time. In other words, fulfill the plan in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lion, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, so that you are not moved. You are immovable. Has everybody got this? I'm telling you again, the enemy of grace is pride. Amen? The enemy of grace is pride. Proverbs 16. The enemy of grace is pride. And he gives grace to the humble, but he rejects the proud. Proverbs 16, verse 17 through 19, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a what? Fall. Fall. Destruction and a fall. In other words, you've just manifested in the flesh. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 11 in verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Verse 3. The integrity of the upright will guide him. But the perversity of the unfaithful will what? Destroy him. Wow. So we see here a fall comes, shame comes. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well advised is wisdom. Again, you see three things that have happened already. A fall comes, shame comes, strife comes. In other words, division. Amen? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 2, or verse 1. We can start at verse 1. Is everybody there? 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a faithful saying. If a man or a woman, I'm going to explain this a little bit. It's a man or a woman desires a position in the body of Christ of authority. Or an office. This is what he's speaking about. He desires a good thing. He says a bishop or someone wanting to be a position in authority then must be blameless. A husband of one wife or a wife of one husband. Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well. Now, I'm talking about ruling your house, your in-house. See, the war within you, you must have dominion over. If you can't conquer the war in you, you're not going to conquer the war outside of you. One who rules his own house, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. You know, I want to share something because there is so much, there's so much competition in the body of Christ. And it's not about competition. God calls you to do something, you do it. But I'm telling you, when he calls you, he provides. He makes a way for certain things. And even when he calls you to do something, it doesn't mean it's today. So this is where what he does is he causes you to get into that place of abidance. He causes you to get revelation to bring humility, not pride. So that you're, see, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. You know, after I got my visitation from the Lord and saved and so forth, I had a desire to serve God, but serve Him personally. It wasn't about serving man. My desire was to serve Him personally. And so He allowed me to serve Him personally through praise and worship. I served Him, not man. I didn't know what I was going to be. Still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. The Bible says be childlike, right? I didn't ask to be a pastor. I didn't ask to be ordained. I served him personally. And he began to bring it. He began to send people in my life and visions in my life that began to speak to me. And I didn't move then because I wasn't gonna, because I wanted to maintain serving. In fact, I didn't want to leave the closet. I'd have been content there until I went home. But he said, take the closet with you. It's time. Then he sent men and women of God that were already ordained and anointed, serving the Lord for many years, who he sent across my path, who brought vision to me. See, if you're sealed by God, that's all that matters. I had no idea about total freedom or anything, or being a pastor. I wasn't looking to be anything. I was just looking to be his son. That was it. I just wanted to live a life that pleased him. That's it. Whatever you want. And then they began to unveil things. Does everybody understand that? See, so many times people want to get to a place because they have a desire to get to that place. But that desire is promoted by pride, not by humility. And this is where we must be careful. See, because one of the things the enemy tries to always do is get you to move before you're sent. He tries to get you to do things because he knows he can nail you later. He doesn't mind you if you build all kinds of stuff because it's not built by the Lord. Even though it may seem, you may be using God's building tools, but it's not established by the kingdom. He is not behind it. Does everybody understand this? So this is an area where we always must be careful in everything that we do. Pride is an enemy of grace. Pride is an enemy of grace. Amen? And he's trying to get us to a place where we are perfected, where we are established, and we are settled, that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, we will not be moved. Amen? We will not be moved. James 4. And we'll close here. Are you blessed? Remember, the enemy is going to try and get you any way he can. And his main purpose is to get you out of position. Pride is an enemy of grace. When you don't know what to do, don't do it. You know, I'm going to share this again because this still blows me away. Facebook is nothing but pride book. It promotes self. It's amazing how many people take pictures of themselves. Look at me. Facebook is a pride book. It promotes self. People put themselves on there. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm talking, if somebody sees your picture, cool. I'm not against the communication, and I'm not against the context. But I'm telling you, there is a borderline for that, to where you start going overboard, and you start promoting yourself in that area in Facebook. There's nothing wrong with a picture, but I've seen some things on Facebook that are downright disgusting, where people are calling themselves Christian, and it should not be on Facebook or what they're doing. It's a pride book. Be careful. James 4. It's a place of opinion, not truth. And some of the parents need to check their children, what they're doing on there. James 4, verse 6. Let's speak it. But he gives more what? Grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. You know, you can't submit to God with pride. It takes humility. It takes humbleness. Humbleness. Let me share something with you. Humble does not fight for itself. Humble doesn't try to prove itself. See, where there's humbleness, there's a relationship where God has already proved you with him. You don't need to be proved to no man. If you're really in relationship with the Lord, it's you and him. And only you and him. all the way home. You are, see, there's many people that want to serve God but not willing to serve Him. They want to serve man to be exalted. Hi, I'm a servant of the Lord. Well, you have a servant's heart. Good, go put up all those chairs. I have a servant's heart. Good, go paint that house. Wait a minute, that's not what I meant. Of course not. You want to be exalted before men. That's the fleshly heart. That's the carnal heart. It's not a humble heart. Unveiled grace. There's going to be much unveiling in 2012. Be careful. Pride will kill you. It is the number one killer of mankind. And it is the number one enemy in the grace of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We submit all things to you. We ask for your forgiveness, your mercies, your grace, your counsel, correction, and direction. Lord, forgive us in any area that we've touched that was unclean. In any area that we've moved out of your time. In any area that we weren't willing to wait on you. Lord, reestablish us in that place where it's us and you. Restore to us our first love that we may serve you and only you. That we may be settled and perfected for your glory. Unmovable. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.